Thank God for a time to worship together today. And if you have your Bible, I'd like to ask you to join me in Luke chapter 5 for a few moments here. Luke chapter 5. Let me grab my Bible, Luke chapter 5. And just real quick, before I go into that, I'll read that scripture there. I want to just mention one announcement. The other announcements I'll make at the end of the service after the little play and so forth. But want to remind you, usually, you know, every year we've been doing this. I don't want to do it out of routine, but as a matter of seeking the Lord, the first 3 days of January, I'd like to ask you to join us in a fast of some food group, whatever it may be. It might be sweets, maybe meat, bread. I can't tell you that. I'm just asking that you would allow it to be something that would motivate you to pray. The real issue is not just eating a certain food or food in general. It's about seeking God and to seek Him. And there are testimonies, you know, people fast and pray, and the Lord brings a breakthrough, maybe a healing in the body, a financial breakthrough, whatever, spiritual breakthrough, whatever it is. But let's just join together in seeking the Lord, committed to Him. If nothing else, 2020, I hope, has reminded us of how much we need the Lord. And always, not just, you know, first of the year, but I like dedicating that first part of whatever the day, the week, offering or year to the Lord. So if you would just join me on that. Luke chapter 5, and this morning I just want to share just for a few minutes, not only the fact that Jesus came. In Christmas time, we remember the Lord's birth, but I want to remember why He came this morning as well. In fact, let me just go ahead and give you that. That's the title of the message today is Remember Why Jesus Came. Remember why Jesus came, that He was not only born whenever day it may have been. It's generally celebrated here on December 25th, but it was a miracle that took place. The Son of God, the eternal sinless Son of God, came to this earth and took on human form. He was miraculously conceived in a virgin's womb by the name of Mary and lived a sinless life. And I just want to, I know sometimes we'll say the little phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's nice, I like it. But let's make sure that we keep His birth connected to His mission. As believers, He came for a purpose. And let's remember why Jesus came. And Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 27, just to give a little, I'll tell you what, I'll drop down to verse 31 just for time. Luke 5, 31, the Bible says this, Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Today I want to just share three reasons why Jesus came. And here is the first one. He says it in verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So one reason that Jesus came is to call sinners to repentance. And just to give you a little background here, if you begin reading in verse 27, Jesus went out and He saw a tax collector by the name of Levi. Levi is also called Matthew. He wrote the first gospel. But Levi, Zacchaeus, are any of you familiar with Zacchaeus? All right. They were tax collectors, and they were really resented, might even say despised by the Jewish people because they worked for what they considered to be the occupying Roman government. And they were seen as traitors to their own people because they would go and not only collect taxes, you really didn't know what the tax burden was, and they would pay out their own pockets with your money. As they said, you know, they were collecting taxes for the government, like you had a whole lot of recourse, so they were just resented by the Jewish people. And so Jesus walks by the IRS office of His day, and He looks at Levi in there and He says, follow Me. He got up and left and followed Jesus. And, of course, people were, like, stunned. They're like, He's supposed to be a prophet. He's supposed to be a godly man, a righteous man, and He's hanging around with these sinners. Thank God. Thank God. And because Jesus, He says, He explains to them because they were complaining about it. And they asked him, "Why are you even?" He went to their house and he ate a meal with them. And they asked him in verse 30, he says, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And he tells them, he says, "Those who are well don't need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance." And Jesus reached out. If you read through the Gospels, he reached out to those who were widowed. He reached out to the poor and the needy. He reached out to lepers. He reached out to those society may have marginalized and looked down on. But the fact is, Jesus didn't do any greater of a reach, if I could say it that way, to reach Levi than he did me. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in need of rescue from not only sin, but its consequences of spiritual and eternal death, separation from a holy God. We all need saving. We all need rescue from our sins. So thank God Jesus came to rescue us. He came, lived a sinless life, willingly laid his life down on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he suffered and died in judgment for our sins. Jesus bore that death, that separation, if we could say the price of hell from separation, of separation from God. Jesus bore that on the cross, thank God, so that we don't have to. He satisfied the demands of a holy God against our sin. And when he conquered death 3 days later, he proved that he is able to save to the uttermost everyone who comes to him in faith. And the Bible says here, Jesus said he came to call sinners to repentance. The word repentance really is a change. It literally in the Greek means a change of mind or a change of heart. But what it is in like Old and New Testament, the implication is that the change of mind or heart leads to a change in direction. It's a turn. So when God's Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, and we realize, I have sinned against a holy God. I deserve judgment. There's nothing I can do to save myself. But I believe Jesus paid the price to save me. And I believe if I call on him and receive him as my Lord, I'll be forgiven of all sin. And so that's what really repentance is. It goes with faith. It's repentance and faith. I'm not just sorry for my sin. I'm sorry, but I'm turning to God in faith because I believe in Jesus. And when that happens, we are made righteous. All of our sins are forgiven. We are declared righteous by a holy God, and his Holy Spirit takes up residence on the inside of us. So he came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance and faith are our response to God's drawing. Repentance and faith are how we are born into Christ, but repentance and faith are also how we grow in Christ. Because if you know the Lord, you know we haven't arrived yet. We can be forgiven. And every time we get that little attitude, or maybe we didn't treat that person like maybe we should have, or maybe we have a little something going on in our, you know, thoughts, language that we're willingly entertaining, and God's Spirit draws that conviction, it's the same repentance and faith. Lord, I'm turning to you, and I receive your forgiveness right now. So we stay close to the Lord. So he came not only to call sinners to repentance. In fact, would you say this? Would you say, remember why Jesus came? So he came to call sinners to repentance. And then over in John chapter 10, let me read a few verses here. Many of you are familiar with this scripture. John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, and he mentions that he is the good shepherd here of the sheep. And why he came is another reason. He says this in John chapter 10, and I'll begin reading in verse 9. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says to the people, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The second reason Jesus came is to give us greater life. That word abundantly is translated abundantly here is also translated greater. When Jesus talks about those who will receive greater condemnation because he was right there with him and they didn't turn to him in faith, that they will receive a greater condemnation is the same word abundantly. Jesus comes to give us greater life. We already have physical life, but he came to give us spiritual life. It's greater in spirit. It's greater in scope. He wants to give us life that goes beyond our last breath in this body. He wants to give us abundant life, spiritual life, fruitful life. He gives us a purpose for living that's not just for time, but it's for eternity. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And he says in verse 27, I'm going to drop down to verse 27. Jesus is still speaking, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So when he draws, his spirit draws us, we believe in him, we become one of his. We're one in the family, we become one of his flock, so to speak. I'm a sheep in the family of the good shepherd who loved me and gave his life for me. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Doesn't mean we do everything right, but we're on the right path. The path of believing in and following Jesus. And Jesus says, "I give my own eternal life, and no one can ever take that away from him." I like how Jesus worded that in contrast to the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I think y'all know who that is, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. He says, "I've come to give you life and greater life, life more abundantly." It's in Jesus that we can really live a fruitful life in time and in eternity. Would you say once again after me, would you say, "Remember why Jesus came"? And then I'll close with this third one. So Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. He came to give us greater life, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And I'll read this out of 1 John in just a moment. But I want to, was thinking about this. I believe it'll be a timely message for someone. There are other reasons why Jesus came, certainly. But one reason is found in Hebrews chapter 2. It says that Jesus came to free us from the fear of death. And it's natural humanly to fear death. I think we fear, if we know the Lord, we can have assurance that we're going to be with the Lord when we die. I wonder if sometimes what we fear is not so much like, you know, death as much as we fear how we might die. You know, it's like how someone may, you know, will it be an illness that stretches out? Will it be sudden? And even recently, you know, just even yesterday, hearing about a young lady who passed away, 27 years old. Man, my heart just goes out to the family. I've just been praying for them. Certainly been on my heart and mind. Jesus did conquer death, but he wants to free us from the fear. He doesn't want us to live in fear of dying. And I believe if we can experience the fear, if we can know that freedom because Jesus conquered death, that one day when that time comes, he will give me grace, and I'll make the transition. I don't have to even worry about it. When Lazarus died, the Bible says, Jesus was talking about him, it says he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, into that place of paradise. So you're going to have you'll have an angelic escort. You won't have to worry about getting lost on the way. You won't have to, you'll just take a breath here, and the next thing you know, Jesus, all right? And I remember a pastor saying this. I was in the service one day at Times Square Church in New York, and this just came to my mind, actually. I heard him say it, or rather, in a message. David Wilkerson was his name, and he was talking about like being out on a busy street there in New York City and not knowing how you may die. And he said, someone may step off of the street one day, because, you know, people drive so safe and well up in New York right all now. And he just said, somebody may step off the curb and a bus. But he said, glory. Instantly, glory. And you know that he experienced that sometime later himself. What looked like a tragedy in the natural, glory. Because that's not the final say. Because Jesus came. Let's remember why he came, and then he came to destroy the works of the devil. And I want to read this out of the English Standard Version on the screen, because some translations say he who sins is of the devil. I want to make sure that, give a little context to what the meaning of that verb is and the tense of that verb. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. "You know that he, Christ, appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Now, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous, and whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared, so he says he appeared to take away sins, now he says it again, the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Thank God he came to destroy the works of the devil in us, because the devil will want to steal, kill, and destroy. So no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Now let me give you, just to comfort some of you so you're not necessarily worried, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, he says, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Christians can and do sin at times. But there is a difference. When God's Spirit convicts us of sin and draws us to Jesus and we receive him as Lord, like I said, we're forgiven, we're made righteous, and his Holy Spirit indwells us. And because the Spirit of the living God, the seed, dwells on the inside of us, he won't just allow us to live like Jesus doesn't matter or that we have not been born again. So is it possible that a believer can sin? Of course. And you know, but we can't just carry on a lifestyle like someone who does not know God, who is not indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, because God loves us enough. In fact, verse 1 of that same chapter, 1 John 3, 1, says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. So he loves us too much to just allow us to go on into sin and hurt ourselves, hurt others, to mar his testimony and name and his Spirit within us. He loves us too much. And he works in us. He'll convict us of that sin. He'll just keep working and keep drawing us. He might not let us have any rest. I can tell you, I've experienced some of that conviction. And I know, you know, it's like you just don't have peace. He'll just keep loving and drawing and convicting. If necessary, he will correct us. But he does it in love to bring us back into close fellowship with himself. Because it's in close fellowship with himself that we really live a fruitful, abundant life. It's in close fellowship with the Lord that we grow spiritually and become more like Jesus, and that's God's will for every one of his sons and daughters. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. An advocate is someone who pleads or intercedes or talks for someone else, but that Greek word is the same word translated helper when Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send another helper. The Spirit. So when we sin, we have a helper. When we sin, we have an advocate, and he will help us get back on the right track. Let's believe God, receive his forgiveness, and stay in close fellowship with him because you are loved. Now, if someone has never been born again, then yes, there's not the same conviction. There is a difference between someone who may fall into sin at times as a follower of Jesus indwelt by God's Spirit and someone who's never been born again and could just go on in sin and really enjoy it without that same missing the fellowship of their Heavenly Father. I hope it makes sense. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he came to destroy the works of the devil within us, within our hearts, our minds, within our families. Thank God he came to destroy the works of the devil. And we can have victory in him and through him. I'll close with this. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. He came to give us greater life. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is the greatest gift. I know sometimes we can receive gifts, not only at Christmas time, but birthday or whenever it is, and a gift can be neglected. Y'all know what I'm speaking about? Let's not neglect this great gift. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, not just from God, He's the gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to ask you this morning, between you and God, the one whom one day you will give account to as I will, have you received this gift today? Have you received Jesus as your Lord? Not just, you know, whatever, mouth the prayer. Have you received Jesus as the Lord of your life? And if you have and you know Him today, are you neglecting Him? Let me ask it this way. Are you living in daily fellowship with Him? That's what He wants. He wants to be close. He's a loving Father. And He didn't just come to forgive us of sin. He came to free us from sin. And one day we will be, but we can have victory right now. I want to ask you, will you do whatever it takes today, right now, in this moment, make a decision that I'm going to receive Jesus as Lord of my life right now, or I'm recommitting myself and I'm going to stay in close fellowship with my Heavenly Father because I know I need Him? Would you just allow the Lord to speak to your heart, and would you respond to Him today as we close in prayer? Father, we thank You today for Your mercy. I'm so thankful that You drew me. And Lord, even when I was away from You and out of fellowship, Lord, I'm thankful that You didn't give up. Thank God. You kept drawing me, kept drawing me, kept drawing me. Until that day, I just surrendered. I was so glad to be back in fellowship with my Father and my family in Christ. So Lord, I pray, would You draw people to Jesus right now? You know hearts. I'm confident that You can do it, and You will. May You draw people into the family. May You draw us all into a closer walk with You for Your own glory and honor. In Jesus' name.